Okay, so my name is Jeanette Fitzgerald, and I am the chief administrator at the Breast Cancer Foundation, which started way back in 2009. Was officially we were registered as a non-profit. 2008 was the first fundraiser, which highlighted the need for money to be raised for assistance for anyone either worried about breast cancer or diagnosed with breast cancer, and also to get the awareness message out there, because, to be honest, too many women, and especially younger women here, were getting breast cancer, not realizing they could get breast cancer because of their age, thinking they were too young, and sadly passing away with that. So there's a whole mission for us to get out there and raise awareness and raise funds to help people who've got breast cancer. Then things changed a little bit in 2015, when we decided to do more hands-on with patients. So that's when the wellness program started. And that has grown and grown. And basically, the wellness program is about supporting anyone, again, worried or diagnosed with breast cancer, specifically with breast cancer, and getting them through their journey. And that is in every aspect you could possibly imagine. I mean, me personally, my ambition, when I took over running the foundation, I actually went back to my hometown in England and went into the breast cancer unit there in the local hospital. And I was so impressed with what they had there. Everything was under one roof. The oncologists, the scanners, the psychologists, the counsellors, even someone to do nails, obviously, because you have an issue with your nails, not just your hair, going through chemo. They had wigs, scarves, prosthetics, the bras. Everything was under that one roof.
Wow.
And that, when I came back from there in 2015, that was my aim, was to get the Breast Cancer Foundation exactly the same, and obviously all of our services being free. So, I mean, we're you know, with the support we've got on the island, we're in that position now. We have got the centre at Grand Harbour, and we offer all those services. So here with me today, who'd like to introduce yourselves, is two of the lovely ladies that I've met, you know, in my role as chief administrator, which I have to say is a great job, and it's the passion of my life is running this foundation and helping the people that I come across, you know, the great people I come across. So, ladies, you want to introduce yourselves?
Sure, I'm Julie Pritchard, and I have been a resident on and off in Cayman since 1991. I did leave for over 10 years after Hurricane Ivan, then came back, and I was here in January of 2020 with a ticket to leave again in April 2020, and that's, of course, when we all went into lockdown. So that's a little bit about me being here.
I'm Ari Underwood. It'll be 4 years in December that I've been in Grand Cayman. I moved here to be a teacher at a Montessori school here, and I thought I would be here 3 years, and I'm still here, so here we go.
Julie, did you want to just let us know about, obviously, the diagnosis, but what led up to that? How did you find out?
Sure. So I was in London in January of 2020, 3 weeks prior to me flying here. And I did actually call the UK NHS mammogram service, because you can call a direct line and book your mammogram. And I, over the years, since the age of about 30, had always had very regular mammograms, because I had a history of cysts, and I'd had cysts removed before, so I was very concerned to always get my mammogram. I can't even begin to tell you why I lapsed slightly, so going back to the January, I called the NHS line. They said to me, oh, you're not due for a mammogram because you had one 18 months ago. And because I had no symptoms, I didn't stress about that. I said, okay, fine. And in my head, I thought, well, I'm coming down to Cayman again. I will get my mammogram there. So I was here January. I was working. I was really busy. Again, I had no symptoms. February went along. My GP, Dr. Hobday, who's also a close friend of mine, was also saying to me, have you been and had your mammogram? I said, no, but I'll get on it. But again, had no sense of urgency, had no symptoms, was perfectly fine, was exercising, was doing my yoga, working hard. And then we went into lockdown in the March, and of course nothing was happening. Fast forward to September 2020, and I got out of the shower one morning and noticed that my left breast looked slightly different. I didn't have a lump or anything like that, but I just noticed just a slight change in the look of the breast. So immediately I thought, right, I must go and get that mammogram. I had my mammogram at Ocean Med. They, in hindsight now, when I think back, I know the radiographer came in back into the room to do the left breast again, and I had an inkling that, oh, maybe I have another cyst. But that's all I was thinking. I had a phone call the next day from Dr. Hobday asking me to come in and have an ultrasound, which I did that afternoon. Again, I was in my head, maybe it's a cyst. Of course, they don't tell you then. I then was called to go and have a couple of days later, to go and have a meeting with Dr. Tanya Ebanks, who was going to have a look and also do a biopsy. Again, I wasn't in any way stressed about it. I just thought, that's okay, that's great. They're on top of it. It's another cyst. Went in. They did that. And I think I got the results about 5 days later. So basically the 18th of September, Dr. Tanya called me to come into her office. I went in. I sat down with her. She explained to me that I had stage 2, grade 3 ductal carcinoma, which I've learnt a lot about since that diagnosis, that it's one of the most common breast cancers that you can get. And she then told me a lot of other things, but I can honestly say that when you sit in that chair and your doctor tells you, or your surgeon, whoever it is, that you have breast cancer, you do not hear anything else. Mm-hmm. That's all you hear. Mm-hmm. The shock of hearing that it's insurmountable. Your world is turned upside down, because you cannot believe that it's happened to you. It's not going to happen to you. You always believe that's never going to happen to me, especially because I used to check regularly. But anyway, it did. And what I would say is the level of care, I've never been more grateful to have been in Grand Cayman when this happened, because if I'd have been in London at the time, it would have got diagnosed a lot later. And that's no disrespect to the NHS, because I love the NHS. I've done things with the NHS, and my family have, and they've been marvelous. But it was still COVID rampant there, and I don't know when I would have got into a hospital. So I'm so grateful. Dr. Hobday was waiting for me when I came out of Dr. Tanya's room. We cried, we hugged, we went and had a cup of tea, because that's what we...
Why I'm getting so emotional. Sorry.
No. Listen, it's a journey. It's a journey. But, you know, I was then taken, within a matter of days, I saw two oncologists, so I could make my decision where I was going to go. I personally chose Dr. Vinitha Benoy. She's been absolutely amazing for me, and Health City have been amazing. I had to have 16 weeks high grade, because my cancer was of a high grade. I had 16 weeks of chemo once every 2 weeks. And I also chose to do cold capping because, again, my personal choice. I really didn't want to lose my hair, if possible. So I did the cold capping. I was in amongst this journey, I should say, introduced to the ladies at VCF, and you know quite well, Jeanette, I was in your office crying so many times. But you ladies just swooped in. I had no family here like you, yeah. Ari. So my friends, all my girlfriends, and some of the guy friends just swooped in. I was completely taken care of. I had people that were volunteering. There was a kind of a sort of a rota system of who was taking me up to chemo on a certain day, who was picking me up. Vicky Wheatonoff, the patron, as you know, is a very close friend of mine and my business partner on the island, and she was amazing in keeping me laughing during this whole process, because you need to laugh, because we cry a lot, so you need to laugh. So, and then I was, again, so after my chemo, I then had to have a mastectomy. We did a lumpectomy first. That didn't get all of the cancer, and mine had actually spread to the lymph nodes. So they did a mastectomy. Again, Dr. Tanya was amazing in her surgical abilities, I should say. And I was so blessed to have Dr. Anne Dancy happen to be on the island at the time. So I was able to have my reconstruction in the same surgery as my mastectomy, which made everything so much easier. I got it all done in one go, and she was here for a number of weeks after to sort of oversee my process as well. So I think what I want to get across to everybody is that it is early detection, and I know we keep going on about this, is the best thing you can ever do. If I had gone for my mammogram the week after I got here, in that January, maybe I'd have been a stage one then. And maybe I wouldn't have had to have 16 weeks of hardcore chemo, which really takes it out of your body. It may have just been surgery. So, you know, I understand why people can put it off, because you can get nervous of it and frightened of going for it. And I don't relish going for my mammograms even now, you know. But I can't stress enough, and we have the support here in Cayman. We have the doctors, the surgeons, the great BCF that just are with us through everything. You know, the volunteers. When I was in chemo, those ladies that kept me going, you know, Deirdre, Fiona, Ashley, I'm sorry, I will have forgotten some of the names, the chemo nurses, they are just there with you through every step. And I always, always remember also walking into the chemo unit for the first time. This gets me teary. Walking to the first unit, into the chemo unit for the first time, and being very emotional because it was so surreal. I kept thinking, I'm not supposed to be here.
Right.
I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm not supposed to be in this chemo. And crying. And Indira came over and just hugged me. And she said, oh, no, my dear. We don't have tears here. This is a happy place. And that put me at ease. You would not believe. I mean, those nurses just would, if they saw me getting a tiny bit upset, just swoop in and say, no, we're all happy here. It's all laughter. Up to the point where I was laughing so much one day, I did get told to be quiet. Which I'm sure was a first in the chemo unit. Ashley and I were having too much of a good time that particular day. But yes, I think on my cancer journey, you know, I'm now 2 years on from my diagnosis.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I am still cancer free. I'm now on the aromatase inhibitor, which will block any estrogen. Yes, there can be side effects from these tablets that we go on, and we know that. But, you know, it is keeping us, it's saving our lives, really. And we have to, you know, that in itself is a journey that you come to terms with. But sorry if I've been rambling on, but that's a little bit about it.
From our point of view, Julie, to see your journey, you know, to see the dip and what you have to go through with your chemo, and doing what we can to help you get through, but knowing that this, a lot of it can't be helped, you know. Yeah. We do the best we can to ease your symptoms.
Yes.
But then for us to watch you now starting to climb that mountain to get back to where you were, and that's fantastic for us.
Yes.
At the BCF to watch you and see you grow and get stronger, mm. which is exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
Which is the best part of what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Sorry, Ari.
I have no idea why I'm so emotional. Well,
emotional.
I need to stop saying that because I do know why I'm emotional, but I didn't think that I would be.
I've heard Julie's tale more than one time, and when you still say about the diagnosis and that day, my goosebumps on my arms, and I still feel emotional. Like you say, this was your journey.
Yes.
But I still relive that with you when you say that, and it's like, you know, I remember back, and it's a massive, massive day, and every single breast cancer patient that I know remembers the time and the date.
Oh, you
their diagnosis.
You could never forget.
It's in your brain. Never.
I don't remember anything else after that. But I
no.
I mean, after that day. But I do remember. Just like Julie, I had had cysts since I was 16. So when I had cysts when I was 16, and the doctor told me, like, you're always going to have these cysts. You need to always check your breast.
Mm-hmm.
So from 16, I've been checking my breast.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I would feel a lump, I would go to the doctor. They would always say, oh, it's a cyst. So they would say it's a cyst. So no big deal.
Just got out.
Thank you.
Sharing our tissues.
For those who know me, know I'm in tears and crying.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Either laughing or crying. So when I found the lump, I was in the shower doing a self-examination, found the lump. I go to call Dr. Richens, who I love so much, and she says, come in. So I go in still thinking, nothing. Mm. She goes, you need to go over to doctor's hospital and have an ultrasound, like right now. And I'm like, okay, still, nope. I'm going to have a positive outlook. They're just, you know, being extra careful. So I go to Dr. Ebanks, Tanya Ebanks. Shout out to you, Dr. Ebanks. I go to Dr. Ebanks. I do an ultrasound, a mammogram, still thinking, this is not cancer. Like, no. One, because who has time for it?
Yeah, that is so true.
No one has time for this. Second, my mom got diagnosed with lymphoma November 18th, 2020.
Mm.
I flew home November 20th, 2020, and my mom had stage 3 and almost died, not from the chemo. She got an infection and literally almost died. Like, we were, I remember the Zoom call
because
I came back to Cayman. I went to one treatment with her. I came back in December. Because, you know, I had to go to work. God bless my bosses and my coworkers, because they were just like, go, take care of your mom. And I came back on the 28th, on the 29th of 2020, my mom went to the hospital. And she had great care. We're talking about MD Anderson. That's where my mom
great
was.
Great care. Yes. Yeah.
And went in, had a fever. And then my mom stayed in the hospital for 4 months.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the Zoom call, and I was here and came in, and they were like, y'all need to start making arrangements because your mom may not make it. She's well and great now. She's 71. Yeah. She's cancer-free. But
To go through that experience.
So in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, this is too much for my family to bear. Surely I'm not going to have cancer also. I had pumped myself up. My bosses, Tracy and Jeff Freen, they were like, girl, positive mindset. I was like, yeah, growth mindset. It is not going to be anything. And so when I went into that office and I was with my friend Simone, she had went with me. And I still I mean, sitting across from Dr. Mm. Ebig, still in my mind, I was like, go ahead. Yeah, do yeah. this, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And when she was like, I hate to inform you, but you have stage one ductal
carcinoma. Yeah.
Yeah. I grabbed her hands and said some unchoice words that I won't repeat.
I'm sure that's not the first time she's heard that.
And just like you said, I went numb. I don't know anything else that she said to me, but I had cancer and I was pissed.
Yeah.
I was like, how in the world can this? No, I don't. Nope, sorry. Mm. You're lying. Mm. No, I was like, nope. And then me, being the person that I am, a control freak, was like, how am I gonna, like, what is this is gonna take over my my being? Like, no, can't. And then, of course, then you go home and you Google, and God, please never do that.
Yes, don't Google.
Yeah. And then you Google, and you Dr. Google scares you more. And then I don't even know how the breast cancer came in. Like, I know my friend Tracy knows Ashley. And I believe Tracy, my boss, was like, I know Ashley. And Ashley, like, swooped in.
Oh, she does. She's fantastic at that.
Like an angel. Like, just was like, speak in my language. Because I'm a different breed. Like, I'm, anyone who knows me, like, I'm different, okay? It takes a lot to deal with this.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
She spoke my language. Then she got me in touch with Jeanette and the girls that were at the Breast Cancer Foundation, because I didn't tell my family.
Mm.
So I'm here by myself, didn't tell my family because my mom was straight out of the hospital.
Mm.
I didn't want her to worry.
Yeah.
I told one of my brothers, who I'm really close to, so he had to do all the family stuff by himself, trying to take care of me. He's in Houston. I'm here. And then I didn't want to do anything. I was like, oh, I'll do the holistic route. I remember Tanya was like, you need to go have chemo. I was like, no, I don't. You need to do radiation. No, I don't. Nope. I'm good. I'm going to fight this on my own. I've got God. I'm going to do it holistically. You can't tell me anything. And for a month, right? For about a month after my diagnosis, I was like, you can get it. I would let them. So I had a lumpectomy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you can, that's fine. You can go in and get it. But I'm not doing chemo and all that. I saw what it's done to people. Nope, not putting that poison in my body. Nope. And then I emailed her, Jeanette, and I said, so I would like to talk to someone who's beat cancer the holistic way. And she was straight up truthful.
Yeah, I had to phone you, didn't I? I can't wash over this in any way, shape, or form.
And she was like, Ari, I would love for you to talk to someone. But guess what? They're no longer living.
Yeah.
And that just woke me up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, all right. Okay.
But I think you had to go through that little journey right there just to find out that you need, you needed that.
Right.
And bravo for you to.
For being honest.
Ring up and say that.
It was hard because it sounds like you're being flippant and you're not. I've known four ladies in the 8 years with the foundation that had gone the holistic route. And sadly, I met them at the end of their journey when they realized that their holistic methods were not working. Someone had taken a lot of their money, one particular family, their entire life savings, on the holistic route. And obviously, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
If there wasn't that talk over cancer, we'd all be down that road.
Right.
Of course.
Yes.
So I knew, but wanted to be as sensitive as I could to say, no, Ari.
Yep, she's
it won't work. It won't. It doesn't.
Yeah. And then I woke up and I was like, all right. And then my boss, I say boss and friend because they are my boss and friend, Tracy and Jeffreen. Jeffreen was like, why wouldn't you use everything that's given to you to fight this battle? Mm-hmm. You're a fighter. So why wouldn't you use every, and just like hearing people say, and I, that's who I need in my corner. I need people who are going to be like, girl, sit down, let me talk to you for real. And so I need people like that, and that's who I have in my corner.
Yes.
People who would just say, no, this is what you need to do. I know you feel that way, and that's great, but this is what we're doing. And then Dr. Sanjay came into my life, who is, like, wonderful and from Texas. Shout out to you, Dr. Sanjay, who also speaks my language because I had gone to Dr. Armanis first, but he was leaving Island. Then I went to another doctor, and then Dr. Sanjay came on, and everybody was like, you should go see Dr. Sanjay. And I did, and he speaks my language,
sure,
too.
Sure.
Like, I would go into his office just crying, hysterical, or being stubborn. I don't want to do that. And he would just sit there and let me have my moment.
And isn't that an important point?
It is.
That for every we're all different on our journey, and you have to choose the doctor, oncologist, surgeon, whoever, that really works for you, that you feel the most comfortable.
Yeah.
Aren't we lucky that now on this island,
we have
choice. There's a choice.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
At one time, not that long ago, there was no choice.
Right. Wow. Yeah.
And that was the thing. You couldn't, you know, you're here, you work, you live, or you could, or from here, and then you had to, in the main, go away.
Right.
Away from your family, away from your support, and be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And that, obviously, over the last few years, that's all changed. So that's the really good part of cancer treatment here, is that you can stay here, and like you said, Julie.
Yeah.
You know, you, Dr. Benoit fitted you.
Yeah.
Dr. Sanjay fitted you.
Yeah.
And that's great that you had that choice.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you need that.
Right.
You
and it's also good to see a couple of people, not just, you know, so that you know exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Who speaks to you?
Yeah.
Who you feel comfortable with. Like, I totally feel comfortable with Dr. Sanjay and Dr. Ebanks. I always tell Tanya, any surgery I have, you have to, if you're not doing it, you have to be in the room. She took great care of me, putting in my port.
Yes, yes.
Doing my lumpectomy. She was great. And I mean, I love how she's straightforward. That's, give it to me and tell me, don't sugarcoat it. What's going to happen? This is what's going to happen. Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
And that speaks to me. May not speak to other people, but I love that.
But also, it allows you to also make an educated decision on what you, you know, you want the doctor to be direct.
Yeah.
And then you can agree or disagree.
Right.
That's up to you.
Yeah. Because
that's good.
I'm a difficult patient. I won't. God bless y'all.
Oh, no. I'm right there with you.
But I do always say the Breast Cancer Foundation saved my life because I do feel that way.
Yes, yeah.
In every aspect, they were there. Ashley did my cold cap.
Yes, she did mine. She did mine. Great fun. Great fun.
Nurse Gail was there with me. I did mine at Doctor's Hospital. You know, before cancer, I used to say, oh, I don't have friends on this island. I can't say that anymore.
No.
Because I have a tribe. You know,
that's it. Because I personally have met, and I've been on this island on and off since 91, so I do have a lot of friends here, but I have met such an amazing group of women that I would never have met before because our paths would never have crossed.
Right.
And yet we now are, you know, everyone's got each other's back.
Right.
Whatever anyone needs, if somebody just needs a ride to mindfulness one day, yeah, sure, let's get on it. Somebody needs something dropping off or just to sit and chat or talk.
Yeah, meet for a coffee.
Having a coffee.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, and I don't know if you found this, sometimes you get to that point through your journey where you feel, if you're talking to somebody that's never gone through it, you feel almost like they must think, oh, okay, we know you have, you've been through breast cancer, but you're out of it now. Right. Do you know what I mean? So you feel that you can't keep, you know, you feel bad to keep bringing it up or saying, oh, you know, my bones ache today or, I feel extreme fatigue today or whatever. But with the ladies that have gone through it, they get it.
Right.
And they're like, oh, exactly. You know, we hear you. So again, going back to Breast Cancer Foundation, you continually bring us all together, even those of us that have gone through the journey as such. But then, you know, just by your social events and, you know, I do the Wednesday night walking with you guys now. I do the chair yoga on the Monday, which is just amazing, which I would never have done if it wasn't for you guys. So,
and it is a learning course for us, because things will come up and somebody will say, you know, I tried this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we've grown with the wellness for the holistic approach that we take. Is somebody said, well, you know, I tried this and it really helped.
Yeah.
So I'm straight down the door, right. Knocking on the door, saying, show me what you do, to the practitioner, and then, you know, what kind of deal can you do me? and we go from there. But that's how we've grown, because we started off really basically with just the massage, and then obviously the manicures, which people think is that it can be a treat, obviously, but for someone going through chemotherapy, it's vital.
Yes.
Because your nail health, obviously, a lot of people might not realize, as well as losing the hair over your entire body, if you do the cold caps, obviously you manage to keep a good proportion of your hair on your head, but your nails lift off. It goes for all the weakest spots.
Mm.
So you really, and the infections would be dreadful at that point when you have no immune system due to the chemo. So we keep a very, very close eye on nails. So interesting, I remember going to see one lady, and she was an older lady. And I realised I'd got into a routine. I was talking to her, but automatically I'm looking at her feet and thinking, we need to get those nails done.
Mm-hmm.
They're a mess. They're a mess. And no one's looking at her nails. And they must have been so uncomfortable for her.
Mm.
But there's a risk, high risk of infection.
Right.
Which can go gangrene. There's a whole ream of things that can happen.
Sure.
But I've learned that when I'm talking to someone I just meet or a patient that's going through chemo, I'm scanning. What do I see?
Yes.
How's that looking? How's this looking? Yeah. I don't even realize I'm doing it sometimes, but I do. It has become, you know, my life's to get out, and I go out there and say, right, I think, let's try this, try that. Let's get that nail person there to get your nails sorted. So, and I think people did think it was like, oh, it's a little luxury, you know, but it's not. It's a basic care package just to try and stop those infections.
Mm.
And as you said, the support groups afterwards, We're watching you all talk. I know the newer ladies that are coming in, and I see them sat there, they're quiet, they're wide-eyed, they're looking.
Mm-hmm.
But to be able to listen to you, you know, 2, 3, 4 years down the line, and some ladies even 20 years down the line, I can see as the meeting goes on that their faces, the fear, it just eases that.
Yes.
So to get everybody together in the same room, it's unbelievable. The effect that can have.
Yes.
And
I remember going to one of the first
group
meetings
that we
had. And I think, I don't know if I'd even started chemo then. I may have been in my first week of chemo or something, but I remember going. And all the ladies in the room were quite advanced in their journey. And I felt like I was just a deer in the headlights, because I was listening to all these different things that they were going through. And it was... you know,
scary.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because I was thinking, oh my goodness, that's happening in 18 months' time. So that particular one was scary for me. But then as you progress on your journey, you realize how much you need those meetings and how much the ladies mean to you. And they, you know, everybody, when you're in different stages of it, you can ask, well, did this happen to you? Or what did you do when this happened? And so there's a real need for those meetings.
There is, and people think that once you, like you said, Julie, when your chemotherapy's over, or if you go off for radiation, you come back, which, thank goodness, that's coming, that we won't even...
Yes.
You know, we'll not even have to go off island.
I know,
that's
huge.
To go to Austin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cannot wait
to do
that.
Radiation.
you know, the surgeons, like you said, we've got some excellent surgeons here. So there is no need. Once the radiation comes, there'll be no need to go off island at all. It can all be here.
Which would be wonderful for
And that is the beauty about the Breast Cancer Foundation, because it's not just while you're doing your treatment that they care for you.
Yes.
It's afterwards.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
It's afterwards.
Yeah.
And they're still there.
Yeah,
and
people think it's over, don't they? Oh, you've had your treatment, so you're good, like you said.
Yes,
really.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then you're still going on. You're still talking about
it's
think that I thought that too. Yeah. I thought, well, I was in denial for even when I was going through the chemo. Like I swore, I was like, I'm not wearing pink. This is not going to define me. Now I wear my pink proudly.
Oh, yes.
I'm like, yep. I'm a survivor, I'm a thriver, I'm a badass warrior. Okay? Watch out.
I think you just found your next t-shirt, Jeanette.
But I was like, I'm not going to the group. I remember I would be invited, and they're so sweet, though, because they would say, there's no pressure.
No.
You don't have to come. And if I didn't come, they would still invite me to the next one. And still invite me to the next one.
Yeah.
And I was just... And so, like, this is not going to define me. This is not, you know, trying to fight that battle. And now it doesn't define me, but it's just who I am. It's a part of my story, and I'm okay with it now, you know. And so I would say to anyone, all women, go get checked. Yeah, it's scary. Yeah, it's fearful. But it's also, and this is crazy to say, but it's also empowering.
Yes.
My quote is, like, I knew I was strong, but I didn't know I was a badass warrior until breast cancer. Mm. And I'm good.
Mm.
Do I have days where I'm low on energy?
Oh, still, absolutely.
This is still a fight that we're fighting every day, and we're going to be fighting it every day. But I also think it empowers us to come out and speak about our journey.
Mm.
That empowers us and hopefully empowers other people.
Absolutely. And, oh, my goodness, it's just stressing to not put these things off and just try and get as regular mammograms as you can. And as we have heard, it doesn't just affect women who are in their, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s or whatever. It affects women in their 20s and 30s now.
We have a lot of women.
Wow.
That's, 70 plus in, you know, 40 and under.
Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
Yeah. It really is. I mean, that's, and I think the way the world is, and I have really, because we don't have any proper research here, because we don't have the cancer registrar as law.
Okay.
So we don't really know how many patients we've got in total on the island. I wish we did. That would be really helpful. But until the registrar becomes law, then we're not going to know. But we just, the ladies that we meet, the ages, you know, it's high. It is high. Everybody quotes to me that this is doctors, not just general public, but the doctors seem to think, you know, it's three times higher than the US, three times higher than the UK. You know, I'll take that because that's what my figures seem to say. I can't say that officially because, you know, we don't know, but it just seems really, really high here. The tiny bit of research that's been done for Caribbean women, the BCR1 and 2 gene, the breast cancer gene is higher in the Caribbean women population.
Right.
And that's probably one of the aspects. But it is just one of the aspects. You know, obesity is another.
Right.
That you being overweight, just play havoc with your hormones. And there's a lot of younger women that are overweight. Or, you know, the alcohol consumption, it's just the way of the world these days. The food that they eat.
Mm.
You know, a lot of us, we don't know what's in the food we you know.
I know. It's actually through this journey, it's quite interesting because I've always considered that I eat quite healthy diet. But when you're researching products, because obviously you want to make sure you're not having anything, any estrogen coming into your body. I tended to research different products that I was buying, and it's amazing how much out there when you read the ingredients that have, I think it's called phytoestrogen in, which is a product of estrogen. So it's even in creams, it's in things that we put on our skin, and shampoos. So, you know, your whole, once we've gone through this journey, and I guess anyone on a cancer journey, you look at things so much more differently, and you're trying to educate yourself on the best way of keeping strong and moving forward.
Right.
I think sometimes, you know, I have had other women that have been in our office and said, you know, this is so frustrating. I have never smoked, never
yes.
been a drinker.
Yes.
I've kept myself fit. I feel like I've eaten healthily. And then, you know, then look at this, you know, and I've been diagnosed. So sometimes there is just no explanation. There's no family
right.
history.
No.
But one lady springs to my mind immediately that had said all of those things to me. I mean, in her particular case, she had been on hormone medication for about 20 years for the menopause. So, you know, obviously that can do it as well.
Sure.
But there are other ladies who've done none of the above.
Mm.
But what they have done is, I would say, people say, oh, they say I'm a little paranoid about my health. Be paranoid about your health.
Absolutely.
That's what's going to keep you healthy.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you go for those checkups. You go to right. that doctor when you feel that something's not right. It matters not. Do they think you're a hypochondriac? Tough luck.
Mm.
That's unimportant. What's important is that you push and get the test that you need until you are confident that there is nothing wrong.
Right.
And that you've gone down the whole road of tests and done the whole thing, and then you
Absolutely.
Can say, sit back, chill, I'm good to go. But because until you've done those tests, you don't know.
No,
you're hoping, you're guessing.
And nobody knows their own body better than you
right,
do.
Exactly.
Nobody.
And you know there's something wrong.
Exactly. And I really believe in advocating for yourself. And I listen to what my doctors tell me to do, and surgeon, oncologist, yeah. whatever. But I also know my body, and I also want to make sure I make an educated decision on what I feel, combined with what they're giving me and telling me to do, that, you know, it is right for me as well. And I think that is important for people to not do Dr. Google if we can, because
yeah,
that's not the best. But it's good to
Google.
It's good to research nutrition and exercise and whatever else, you know, is going to help you
right.
on this
well,
journey.
You mentioned Ginny Hobday. Ginny and I, one of the things that Ginny and I did in lockdown is that we worked very hard on our own information, which is on our website, which is
right.
breastcancerfoundation.ky. And that you know, we did a lot of research and combined all our information sheets onto the website.
Mm.
So, you know, and it's not just our website, but look for the reputable website.
Yes.
If you're going to
exactly.
look to Macmillan or the breastcancer.org,
yeah.
you know, don't just Google.
There's also
you'll get all sorts, as you know.
Yeah, there's also another one in the UK called Breast Cancer Now.
Yeah,
and they
that's
do
a good one.
They do short little YouTube
okay.
videos and stuff, and that's a really good one too.
Yes, it is. And that's basically, you know, just use your common sense and just look for those, the good websites and not just your general, because you'll get all sorts of kooks on there as well. Give you
oh,
all sorts
absolutely.
Of advice.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then you'll scare
yeah.
yourself to death.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is
that's
yeah.
not,
yeah.
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 And they've
yeah,
done
well.
That, got the T-shirt.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So just for, you know, going forward, obviously, you know, the foundation's here. We're not going anywhere. We're at Grand Harbour. Anybody can come and knock on our door. We get slightly frustrated at times with the system, with the insurance here. You know, British.
Yep.
British to that good old NHS.
Oh, friends.
But we can help get through that. And obviously mammograms, ultrasounds, things like that, you know, we can be right there. We don't turn anyone away, ever.
No, y'all, I remember sitting in that chair at the hospital for like one of my first treatments.
Mm.
And I was sitting in the chair getting ready for chemo, and they were saying, we still haven't received your stuff from insurance. And Ashley came in there.
Oh, she's marvelous at that.
And then I was like, well, guess what? And both Ashley and I was like, I'm not leaving. I'm in this chair. Do you know how long it took me to get in this chair? And to, and to finally grasp the fact that I'm getting chemo, I will talk to the CEO of this hospital. And Ashley was like, it's okay. Don't worry. You're going to get your chemo. It doesn't, you know, everything's going to be okay. And then I remember the other time sitting there, and they told me that I owed this amount of money, and I didn't.
Mm. And how stressful
is
that?
Oh, so stressful.
When you're going through the most stress possible with this diagnosis.
It's so stressful.
And you don't want to be in that chair.
Right.
And you don't want this stuff being pumped into you, but you know it's going to save your life. And then to have that happen, I really hope the, I don't know what the answer is to that, but I really wish that the insurance companies here would take that on board, and this together
a little bit quicker. A little quicker.
But then you guys were like, Ari, don't worry.
Yes.
Like, we got you. Mm. And I was sitting there in tears crying because I can't call my family and say, hey, because they don't know.
Yes.
And, you know, and then just to sit there and feel hopeless.
Yeah.
But then there's you guys saying, everything's going to be okay.
Mm.
Don't worry. You're going to get treatment. This is not going to stop you. You know, it just, I was like, okay, one less thing I have to, you know, worry about. So you guys comfort.
Because that's the last thing you want to worry about.
Yeah, you comfort me in that fearful stress. That's one fear that I could take away, right, and concentrate on other things. I knew that I could always come to you guys and not just ask for monetary help, but just, you know.
And that's what we're there for.
Psychological help. Spiritual help, mental help. Like they have soon to be Dr. Tina Saunders.
Yes. She's wonderful.
Yeah. She's
wonderful.
She talked to me. And then, you know.
She helps us, you know, as well as the staff. We help
Oh,
me.
Really? Oh, really? That's fabulous.
We do. She's fabulous. She really is awesome. Yeah.
She works at our school. So
We are just so blessed with the support we have here as well. You know, we had the gala and obviously the night at the Harpwell, and just, you know, as we're getting to the close of the thing, just give us your thoughts on Vinny.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious.
I was
there on the Thursday at the Harquell, and then obviously at the gala.
Two different people, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
Harquell was very, obviously, very light and, you know, talking
that,
about
that night was hilarious. He cracked me up that night.
Yeah. And do you know, he was so tired. He'd been on the FBA flight and got straight up.
I know. I don't know how he did that.
I know.
Crazy. But then, obviously, and then he did the very touching, him and Andy. Did their very touching.
Yeah, I thought
presentations.
Kim's speech was was very moving.
Yes.
We were in tears then. And Andy, we were tears again.
And also, look, a big shout out to Kim for starting this foundation.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
Where would we be without
I know. And
him?
And like he said, you know, he's been there, and it was the worst time in his life.
Yes. Exactly.
But he could have taken that and just gone on, but he didn't. He was determined to make a difference for other women going through that, and to try and, you know, to get that early diagnosis, because he knew with his wife, you know, obviously being misdiagnosed because of her being too young, apparently, at 33, to get breast cancer. You know, and he says, you know, had we pushed at that time, who knows what the outcome would be, but they did what they were told and went back six months later to have another check, and, you know, that was too late for them. So he's a man on a mission. He's determined, and obviously with James Bell and John Brooks at his side, and let's not forget Martin Lancaster and Ginny, you know, the five of them, they're on a mission, and they've made a difference. Totally made a difference.
Yes. A difference.
I mean, I couldn't imagine.
I would have had to leave.
There's no way that I could have if I didn't have the support here. And I feel like Kim also, be it that that was his journey, he has great empathy.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Huge empathy for
us. You know, and the same thing with Dr. Sanjay, you know, he's got great empathy.
Sure.
And that's what you want.
Yeah.
You know, like I've seen Kim out before and been nervous to say hi to him, and but then walk over and be like, hey. And he's always like, hey, you know, like, how you doing? What's going on? And it makes me feel great. Like he takes the time out to
be
like, hey, and just to say, like, I see you.
Exactly.
You're doing great. And, so that means a lot.
Oh, it means huge. It really does. And again, I think it's testament to us being here on this a small island, you know, because I have the same situation with Dr. Vinitha. When I see her, when I walk in, straight away we hug. Where else in the world are you hugging your oncologist?
Yeah.
Because nobody, they don't have time.
Same thing with Dr. Sanjay.
You know, they both said that to me. They both said, you know, your patients, it's different here. Patients you have here, they're not just your patients. They become your family.
Right. Yes, they do.
And that's the, you can't ask for more than your oncologist to feel like you're part of their family, because you know they're going to be, go the extra mile, they're going to do whatever they can to get you through. Mm. And I know most doctors will do that anyway, but with that personal touch, like you said, that hug, it means everything.
It means everything.
Everything.
It really does.
It's not just come in, sit down, let me tell you what's going on, you know, with your blood work. Okay, oh, bye.
Yeah.
It's not like that.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
What's going on? Okay, let's try this.
Yeah.
Okay, then let's work this out. Maybe try this instead of doing this. Listening to you cry.
Yes.
Or, you know, having a good laugh. You know, it means a lot. I'm not scared to go and see.
But do you know how many patients who are overawed by their oncologist, especially if they're a little bit distant?
Mm-hmm.
They go in there and they'll say maybe one thing, well, I've got this, so I need, and they'll talk about it, and then they don't mention anything else because they're overawed by that, and they don't feel they can talk, or they're so, you know, they're so in awe of the doctor that they can't speak or be themselves, so they don't want to tell them, or they're frightened of telling them, or they just don't feel comfortable talking to them.
Right.
So if you've got that friend who's also happens to be your oncologist, you'll tell them everything, and that's what they want, because they need to know everything.
Right.
And they can make that best
treatment
path for you going forward and keep you well.
Yeah.
So that that's the best kind of doctor. I have a doctor at HSA, and sometimes I would say, you know, I better go now, because it's like, I think you've got a queue, but they get on so well. But again, so I know that feeling, because I can talk to them about anything.
Right.
And that's the kind of relationship I hope for everybody.
And you kind of need that through this journey, because it's so terrifying.
It is.
At every stage, that just to have your medical team, whoever that is, just listen and be there for you and, you know, in whatever capacity, oh, my goodness, it means so much.
Yeah.
There's just one last thing I do just want to say when, you know, with this cancer journey that we're on, I am 19 months cancer-free now.
Yay!
But we still take medication. So, you know, we're both on medication now for the AI, for the I'll be on it for 10 years. I'm not sure how long you're on it. And just for people listening, We are officially cancer free, but we're still on a journey to stop this. So coming back, and so we do have side effects, which obviously I won't go into in great detail. But please note that even though we are cancer free, we are still going through struggles, different struggles. Might not be as bad, but you know, there might be extreme fatigue. There might be there might be bone pain.
Right.
So if we're not on 100% par on any given day, there is a reason for that.
Right.
And it's not, you know, we don't want to be like that, but it
Chemo brain is a real
thing.
Chemo brain was dreadful.
I didn't think it was until after. And then I'm like, what is happening?
Yes.
And it's just, I think it's the stuff after that I'm struggling with a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, I was one who thought, okay, done, radiation, yeah. done.
Yeah.
Ring that bell.
I think everybody does.
You know, and yeah. then I'm like, what's happening to my body?
PTSD is a massive, real thing. Your whole world was rocked to the core.
Yeah.
You've been through the battle of your life, and you've come out the other side, but it's ongoing. And
when I had my recent MRI to make sure everything was okay,
mm-hmm.
I went on my own. I felt great. I thought I was going to be fine. I walked in that room. I took one look at that machine, and I was like, I just broke that down. Yeah, I was like, yeah. I can't do this. Yeah. And they were so wonderful. They said, okay, just take 20 minutes outside. Oh. We've booked this. We've got an hour. Go and sit outside. I called a friend, my good friend Kelly Rooney, and I said, I'm at the hospital. I'm having an MRI. That was all I needed to say. She said, I'm on my way. She came. She held my hand through the whole procedure. So it is. Yeah. It's PTSD.
It is.
Comes back.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, ladies, thank you both.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
This is therapy.
Yeah.
I feel a little lighter. I'm just saying, you know, like talking about it because, you know, you don't always want to talk about this.
No.
And so getting a chance to just talk about it and for us to be ourselves and be comfortable about it, this is a kind of, you know, therapy.
It is.
And I hope that we eased. I hope we didn't scare you guys.
Yes, that's not. The intent was not to scare anybody.
That we eased someone's mind to know that early detection is important. And if you so happen to get diagnosed with breast cancer on this island, that you have a wonderful and strong support system.
Amazing.
That's here. That's going to be with you through the beginning all the way to the end and forever.
We are
living witness
that
the Breast Cancer Foundation, you're stuck with them, and that's a good thing.
And that's a great thing. And look at us, we're laughing.
I know.
You know.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
No, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yes, so anybody out there listening who does is worried or has been diagnosed, please, you can contact us. It's the info@bcfkman.com or give us a call, 923-1135, and we're here to help. So we also have our own breast cancer centre at Grand Harbour near Hurley. So, again, just call.